Thanks for being here. A man named Ernest Kurtz wrote a book on the history of AA and the 12-step movement. The title of the book is Not God, A History of Alcoholics Anonymous. Kurtz said the fundamental problem that alcoholics have is deep down inside, they refuse to acknowledge their own weakness and limitations. He said their recovery and healing begins with a single affirmation and realization, I'm not God. They have to acknowledge they need help from a power greater than themselves. This illusion that we could become like God is not unique to alcoholics. It lies behind the very first human sin when Satan comes to Eve and he tempts her and he says this, God knows that if you eat the fruit from that tree, you will learn about good and evil, and read along with me, and then you will be like God. That temptation to be like God has been passed on to all of Adam and Eve's descendants, down to us today. And I want to make sure you get this if you get nothing else that I say today. So if you don't mind, I want you to turn to the person sitting beside you and say, I'm not God. Didn't that feel good? To finally confess it and get it out in the open? Now, if you had to say it to your wife, that wasn't so good, was it? But in our series, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we've been looking at stories from the life of the Old Testament prophet Daniel. He had a mission from God to walk with integrity and godliness in a culture that was steeped in sin and wickedness. And today we want to look again at Nebuchadnezzar, whose name is mentioned 91 times in the Old Testament. Nebuchadnezzar reigned for 43 years as the king of the Neo-Babylonian Empire. And we're going to see how he also came to the realization that he wasn't God. Daniel chapter 4, of all the chapters in Daniel, the only one not written by Daniel was Daniel chapter 4, and it was written by Nebuchadnezzar. He had conquered Jerusalem. He had taken captives, people back to his country. He had totally destroyed the temple. Nebuchadnezzar wants to tell his story, and he begins like this. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. Now, it was an understatement to say he was prosperous. He was the ruler of the greatest empire of his day. Maybe you've heard of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Nebuchadnezzar built one of them in the capital city known as the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. There was simply no city like it in the world. It was New York. It was Paris and Rome, all rolled into one city. I have to believe that Nebuchadnezzar had a massive Donald Trump-style ego. And he was very much full of himself. I don't know about the hair, but I believe the ego. There have been many men down through the ages who had this same problem. They're rich and powerful, who come to a place in their lives when they surveyed all they have. And they said along with Nebuchadnezzar, I'm rich and I'm in control. Nebuchadnezzar was a man who couldn't imagine he had a problem lurking on the horizon. His thinking and his life was distorted by one of the oldest sins of all. Anybody want to venture a guess what that sin is? Come on, speak it out. Pride. Pride's just one sin. But in many ways, it represents the root of all sin. Bible scholars believe that these verses that we're going to show refer to a time when Satan himself experienced pride. Before his fall and rebellion against God, he was known with another name, Lucifer, who is one of only three angels mentioned in the Bible: Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael. Here is a description of Lucifer's thinking. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Can you count how many I wills are in those verses? Five. The prideful I will of Satan, sadly, has taken up residence in the hearts of human beings because of sin. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't imagine he had a problem, but God knew he did. You see, one of the great dangers of the sin of pride is this sense of self-sufficiency. Nebuchadnezzar had all the riches and power one could desire, but he had spiritual poverty in the eyes of God. So God starts him on a long and painful journey. And it's going to be a battle for his soul. And it all gets started with another of Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. But one night, I had a dream that frightened me. I saw visions that terrified me as I lay in my bed. In this Middle Eastern culture, dreams were thought to come from the gods. So people put a great deal of meaning in any dreams they dreamt. And today, it's exciting to hear about stories from the Middle East where Muslims are being visited by Jesus in their dreams. Google it if you don't believe it. And these dreams then become the catalyst for further inquiry and investigation by the people. And the result of this is many Muslims are turning their backs on Islam and becoming Christians, and it all started with a dream. Nebuchadnezzar was desperate to know what his dream meant. So this is what he did. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, different than the first dream, remember? But they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. It's a remarkable sign of respect that King Nebuchadnezzar referred to Daniel here by his Hebrew name, Daniel. When he was first deported as a young man to Babylon, Daniel was given a Babylonian name, Belteshazzar. And it would be customary for the king to refer to him by that name, Belteshazzar. However, here he refers to Daniel by his Hebrew name first, and then his Babylonian name, so that everyone in his court, everyone would know, familiar with that name, they know he's talking about Daniel. And I would encourage you, we're not going to go into all the dream and read the scriptures, but I would encourage you to go to chapter 4 of Daniel and read the dream this week, concerning a large tree and how that tree was cut down and only the stump of the tree was left. And the dream also talks about how the king will take on the nature and the very mind of an animal for 7 years. Nebuchadnezzar had brought his so-called wise men before him. And guess what? He asked them to interpret his dream, but they couldn't do it. And then he asked Daniel to interpret the dream for him. And the first part of the dream sounds pretty good to Nebuchadnezzar, as Daniel says this to him: "Your Majesty, you are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth." You know, that sounds about right to Nebuchadnezzar. Lots of greatness, lots of achievement, lots of triumph, lots of dominion. But as Daniel goes on to interpret the dream, he says, "Nebuchadnezzar, you're the tree that will soon become just a stump." In other words, your prideful arrogance isn't going to help you, because you're going to lose all your power, all your glory, and all your wealth. Your empire and even your capacity to think in a right mind will be taken from you. There's a reason why Nebuchadnezzar is going to experience these things. Daniel says, "So then, let all people everywhere know that the supreme God has power over human kingdoms, and that he can give them to anyone he chooses, even to those who are least important." What happens to Nebuchadnezzar is going to be a lesson on pride for all human beings who will ever live. A lesson that they aren't God, no matter who they think they are. It's a lesson that reinforces the fact there's a supreme God over all human beings for all time. It's a lesson on pride that I hope for you and me, because the Bible has some very strong words for this thing called pride. I invite you to read along with me from Proverbs 16:5, where we read, "The Lord detests all the proud of heart." Read along with me, please. See, I do that to see if you're asleep or not. And I put most of you asleep. Okay. "Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished." Pretty strong words there. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. And God is telling us through Solomon what he thinks of all the prideful people and also their fate. They will not go unpunished. To interpret this frightening dream to the most powerful man in the world would take considerable courage. But Daniel was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., and he was fulfilling the mission God had for him. Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, "You're going to lose it all. You're going to lose all your power, all your wealth, and you're going to live with wild animals, and you're going to forage for food like an ox for 7 years. He goes on to say, "Your Majesty, please be willing to do what I say. Turn from your sins and start living right." After giving him all this bad news, Daniel encourages the king to turn from his sins and start living right. Because Daniel cares for Nebuchadnezzar, and he cares for his eternal destiny, he wanted him to know that God saw him as a sinful man because of his pride and what it had caused him to become. While living in the corrupt and sinful culture of Babylon, Daniel could have decided to keep quiet, play it safe, Stay silent about God's truth. Zip it. But he didn't do that because he made a decision to be faithful to the mission that God had given him. Question. As 21st century agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., have you made the decision to not be silent about God's truth? In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talks about the shield of faith, which is in essence your faith in God. So if you have your faith in God this morning, you are, by virtue of that faith in God, you are an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. So have you, like Daniel, decided to be faithful to the mission and speak up? When was the last time you lovingly told someone that you care for to consider the path they're on and change and start living right? When was that? Today in America, we live in a culture that is just as sinful and wicked as Babylon, if not more so. And never forget that you and I are agents of the same God that Daniel served thousands of years ago. And if we care for people in our families, those we work with, people that we shop at their stores, people we go to school with, we should be concerned about their eternal destiny. For you see, everyone on the planet has an eternal destiny. It's not politically correct, and some of you may not even believe it, but the Bible tells us those two destinies are either heaven or hell. And we aren't helping people when we turn our heads or we close our eyes to their sin and their wayward living, and we choose not to give them the same advice that Daniel gave King Nebuchadnezzar. Because he cares for him, Daniel doesn't ignore his sin and just say something like, "You know, King, just keep living the way that you've been living. You know, you're powerful. You're important. So just keep doing what you're doing. Because, you know, I'm sure that for you, God's going to overlook all your sin." When a human being is serious about getting right with God, there comes a time when they have to recognize the truth about themselves. And that truth causes them to say, "You know what? I'm not God. I'm not God in this whole thing." You see, when we're caught up in our sin, we can become blinded to the point where we don't even recognize our sin. It's like this story I read about a mother who'd spent some time with a neighbor on a Saturday afternoon. And she was coming home from the neighbor's house, and things seemed too quiet. Mom, you ever know that too quiet feeling when you got kids at home? And she's walking across the front yard, and the screen door is open, and it's too quiet. So she was curious, and she got up on the porch, and she looked through the screen door into her front room, and she saw her five children huddled together on the living room floor, and they were intently looking at something on the floor. As she got closer, she could not believe her eyes. Right in the middle of her children were five baby skunks. And so the mom screams, "Quick, children, run!" And at that, all five children grabbed a skunk and ran. I don't know if that's true or not. I did come across it, but it makes for a great illustration. That's a picture of the human sinful condition. we grab a skunk and we run. And those skunks are the habits and the patterns of living that destroy us. Our greed, our pride, our hypocrisy, our sexual immorality, our selfishness. These things, and a list a mile long of other things, have become so much a part of us that we fail to recognize them and we just carry them with us. We're so used to them, we're so comfortable with them, that we forget they're actually there. We're pretty good at hiding or disguising the skunks in our life, including the skunk of pride. Well, here's our problem. The heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out. But I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be. This is from the Message translation. I believe it's so good here. And it reminds us that none of us can fool God. You may fool your spouse. You may fool your mom and dad. You may fool your teacher. We can try to pretend and pick up our skunks and run, but God will deal with us as we really are. He gets to the heart of the human. He cuts through all our defenses and our denials, and he gets to the heart, just as he's going to get to the heart of King Nebuchadnezzar. I've never found God to be subtle and to send mixed messages and signals about my sin. Maybe you have. I haven't. Daniel goes on to tell the king that if he turns from his sins and starts living right, then things are going to change for him. It all depends on whether or not Nebuchadnezzar is willing to listen. Is he willing to swallow his pride and humble himself? Is he willing to turn from his sin and live right? What does Nebuchadnezzar do after Daniel has said all these things to him? Does he yell at him? Does he banish him to prison? Does he cry out for mercy? This is what we're told. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my majesty, mighty power, and for the glory of my majesty?" So how do you think Nebuchadnezzar's doing here with the whole pride issue? I don't read anything about him turning from his sin and starting to live right. There was a book written many years ago by a quarterback named Joe Namath. Anybody remember Joe Namath? A lot of snickering out there. Well, he made the Hall of Fame and you didn't. The Hall of Fame quarterback for the New York Jets, who won Super Bowl number 3 by beating Coach Don Shula's Baltimore Colts. And Namath's autobiography is titled, "I Can't Wait Until Tomorrow Because I Get Better Looking Every Day." No kidding, look it up on Amazon. And that's kind of Nebuchadnezzar's school of thought. And if you are interested, you can purchase that book for 19 cents plus shipping on Amazon. Joe Willie Namath, by the way. Did you notice in this passage how long God gave Nebuchadnezzar to respond to Daniel's interpretation and the words that Daniel had given him? God waits 12 months later. And every day of those months, I've got to believe that Nebuchadnezzar chooses to push the dream and its message out of his mind. His prideful arrogance has a tremendous hold over him. "Is not this the great Babylon I have built by my power for my majesty. This guy was off the charts when it came to pride. The first half of this verse could really be Nebuchadnezzar's theme verse. A fool's mouth lashes out with pride, but the lips of the wise protect them. Be wise, in other words. So for 12 months, Nebuchadnezzar's walking around saying, I will not bend my knee to this God. I will not do what he asks. I will not show kindness to the poor, which he's asked me to do. Maybe he thinks God is bluffing, or he thinks because he's the king of the greatest empire on earth that he can outsmart God. Were you ever tempted to think you could outsmart God? Take it from a guy that's been around longer than most of you are alive, but around. An old guy up here. I'm going to tell you this right now. It's never going to work for you. A guy with experience. It didn't work for me. It's never going to work for you. We cannot outsmart God. Maybe Nebuchadnezzar tells himself, you know, well, one day I'm going to pay attention and I'm going to give God his obedience that's due him, but not today. And that's where some of you are at today. One day I'm going to change. One day I'm going to live right. One day, but not today. One day. And now 12 months later, Nebuchadnezzar has become an even bigger slave to all the arrogance and pride that God warned him against. So God decides to take more drastic measures with the king. The psalmist here says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or a mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. What is that all about? God wants to lead and guide people by his Holy Spirit in the best directions for their lives. I believe that for you. I believe that for me and my family. It's Bible. It's true. That's what he wants. But if that way of dealing with us doesn't get our attention, God always has other means at his disposal. Could I see a show of hands? No, don't. God is telling us here, my friends, that we can choose his gentle guidance and leading, or we can choose the bit and the bridle, which is another way of leading that requires more force and more control. Nebuchadnezzar is about to experience some of God's force and some of God's control. He wouldn't go the easy way. The dream Daniel interpreted 12 months earlier is about to become a reality in his life. About 12 months later, I was walking on the flat roof of my royal palace, admiring the beautiful city of Babylon, when these things started happening to me. I was saying to myself, just look at this wonderful capital city that I've built by my own power and for my own glory. But before I could finish speaking, a voice from heaven interrupted, King Nebuchadnezzar, this kingdom is no longer yours. You will be forced to live with the wild animals away from the people. For 7 years you will eat grass as though you were an ox, until you learn that God Most High is in control of all earthly kingdoms and that he is the one who chooses their rulers. This was no sooner said than done. I was forced to live like a wild animal. I ate grass and was unprotected from the dew. As time went by, my hair grew longer than eagle feathers and my fingernails looked like the claws of a bird. Not a pretty picture, is it? He once had great power and wealth. He built the premier city of his day that had one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. He did it all on the backs of the poor. While they suffered and slaved and starved. And no doubt, this king had great contempt for these people. But now he's less than them. Not only is he poor, he has become mentally deranged with a condition known as lycanthropy. That's the belief that the person takes on that they're actually an animal. Do you think Nebuchadnezzar would agree with this statement? Pride leads to what? Destruction and arrogance to what? I believe the king finally came to the realization, I'm not God. I'm not God. The problem is he had to hit the very bottom to learn that. Fortunately, you and I don't have to hit bottom. At death, everyone will eventually come to that realization, but then it's going to be too late for you. I'm going to guarantee you this morning with 100% ironclad guarantee, it's better to know now while you're still alive and can do something about it that you're not God. The turning for Nebuchadnezzar did come. I love this. He says, finally, I prayed to God in heaven, and my mind was healed. The king's basically saying, after living 7 years as an animal out in the fields, I turned my heart to God, and I asked him to forgive my sins and help me start living right. Just what Daniel had advised 7 years earlier. And that's all God was waiting for, because God always responds to a repentant heart. Whether it's a king or a person like you and me. Nebuchadnezzar finally recognized God as being in charge. And that is the first step to salvation for all of us. To recognize He's in charge and not us. To not do that and to keep going on the path of pride and self-deception will doom us. Along with Joe Namath, Don Shula is also in the Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. And after losing that 1969 Super Bowl to the Jets, he went on to coach the Miami Dolphins and win 2 Super Bowls with that team. In fact, in 1972, he led them to the only undefeated season in NFL history. He once told a story about being on vacation in a small town in New England and then going to the local movie house on a very snowy night. There were just a handful of people in the lobby, and when he and his wife walked in, those people actually applauded. Shula had this little, inward sense, and he was pleased about that, and he wanted to make sure that his wife took notice of what just happened. So he told her, dear, I guess there isn't any place in America where I'm not known. After the movie was over, a man shook hands with him, and Shula said, I'm kind of surprised that you recognize me way up here. The man said, well, should I know you? We're just glad to see you folks. The manager said he wasn't going to start the movie until 10 people showed up and you and your wife were 9 and 10. Take that, Don Shula. you might say that Don Shula had a little pride and self-deception going on that night. After 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar finally turned his heart toward God's heart. God's heart, the heart of grace, and the heart of forgiveness. And that's Nebuchadnezzar's story in his own words. And what a story it is in Daniel chapter 4. And please read it sometime. But now the question is, what's our story? Have we fallen like Nebuchadnezzar? And I'm not talking about living like an animal out in the field and all of that that he went through. But we've fallen away from God because of our sin. Have you ever wondered what the worst sin is? And I know you don't sit around thinking about that a whole lot. But what is the worst sin? Is it murder? Adultery? Rape? Jealousy? Lying? I believe pride has caused more people to end up lost for all eternity than any other sin. While pride causes us to commit a variety of sins, the worst thing it will do is keep us out of heaven. Pride will convince you that you don't need Jesus in your life. Pride will convince you that you don't need the forgiveness of sins that He alone offers. Pride keeps a man or woman from acknowledging their condition before a holy and righteous God. You see, pride keeps us from admitting how far short we come on His scale of righteousness. Not my scale, not your scale, His scale. In the New Testament book of Romans, Paul says, all of us have sinned and fall short in God's eyes. All, A-L-L, preachers, priests, moms and dads, all boys and girls. Now, God will never lower His standard for you and me. I wish He would. Been many a time in my life. But He's never going to lower His standard. And we're always going to come up short on His scale. Because He will never lower His standard for us, we need someone who is perfect in every way and sinless in every way to take our place of judgment for our sins. There's an exchange. We need that exchange. And thankfully, the good news this morning and every day of the year, there's already been done. That's already been done when God sent His Son Jesus, who humbled Himself, the Bible says, not filled with pride. He humbled Himself and He became obedient to death on a cross. That's not just an Easter message. He died there for us, for you and for me, and He took our place so that we can be forgiven. Now here's the thing. You can know all this, and many of you do know all this, but still not be in a right relationship with God. You've heard it all your life. Each of us has to respond and acknowledge that we aren't God. We have to decide, make a decision. Will we follow our pride and go on our own self-directed way, like we've been doing all of our life? Or will we repent of our sin and follow Jesus? It's up to each of us to say, you know, God, I want to lay down my pride, my self-sufficiency, and I want to receive Your forgiveness, God, and Your unconditional acceptance. And God, by Your grace that we've sung about this morning, I will follow Your Son, Jesus Christ, for the rest of this life that I have. And then I'm going to live with Him forever in the life to come that You have for me. Daniel was an agent of the shield. And Daniel had a specific mission from God. And his mission, one part of it, was to challenge and then help King Nebuchadnezzar to know the truth and to live humbly before God. And this is how the mission ended, with the king himself writing this. Then I said, I praise and honor God Most High. He lives forever. and his kingdom will never end. Daniel was successful in his mission. Nebuchadnezzar turned from his sin to praise and honor God by his own admission. The king finally understood the purpose of his seven-year ordeal. And this shows a true conversion of his heart. Someone has written and said, we can expect to see Nebuchadnezzar when we get to heaven, possibly at Daniel's side. Now, we also have a mission as 21st century agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's to help people we know and people we care about to come to a place in their lives where they'll do the same thing Nebuchadnezzar did, that they will praise and honor God. The problem is pride can be a great hindrance to this happening in their lives. It can be a stumbling block to them and to us, and keep us from knowing and coming to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning that if you haven't done it, that you'll confess any and all pride in your life, and you'll swallow it, and you'll pray, and you'll choose to humbly live a grace-filled life before your family, before your coworkers, before your schoolmates, before the world. You'll say, no more pride, God. I'm not God. And I'm going to humbly submit myself and confess the sin of pride in my life and all other sins for that matter. And I believe if we do that, just like Nebuchadnezzar, we'll also be able to say, I'm going to give God honor. I'm going to give Him praise. I'm going to praise Him and honor Him for all time. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You today that we don't have to hit rock bottom. We don't have to end up with the bit and the bridle in our mouth. We don't have to know Your force and Your control. We can gently be led by Your Holy Spirit in the way in which we should live and go. We can know Your blessings, but Lord, if we choose not to, we've learned by the example of Nebuchadnezzar that there are consequences for our sins. There are consequences for our willful disobedience. Lord, whether it's pride, whether it's lust, whether it's unforgiveness, whatever the sin that we harbor in our heart today, help us to get it out and to confess it and say, Lord Jesus, forgive us of that. Because once we do, we have that unconditional forgiveness that comes from You because of what Christ did on the cross for us. Oh Lord, we thank You that You love us. We thank You that You're more than willing to go the extra mile with us. And Lord, we just ask this morning that You'll speak to hearts all over this building that are weighing this fact. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me invite you after the band plays this song. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe that when people come from your side to the front and pray with the prayer teams, God does something special in those lives. We've heard too many testimonies. So let me invite you, if you're dealing with anything in your life, you need confession, you need rejoicing, whatever it might be, just have the courage to come forward and let them pray with you. Amen.